Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Please get in touch with your thank you letters or survivor stories. You can reach us at contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK. Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So I did a painting not that long ago where I basically depicted what I thought sex was like in the before time and how I see it now after a period of self-discovery and general exploration. We are so skilled at convincing ourselves that we are A-okay with how things are going and that we are satisfied with the current state of life. We are incredibly proficient at jamming ourselves, the proverbial square pegs, into various round holes and then sitting there going, yeah, this'll do, until we don't. And please excuse the pun on all of that. But my guest, Elliot Salt, and I are discussing all this and more today. Okay, so it is 2014. What a year. I think we've had 2014 a couple of times, and I don't know why it's big, but I always relate it to the fact that that's the year I graduated drama school and was like, well, I'm going to be famous in 10 minutes.
So a fantastic year
get ready, world. Cut to 10 years later, here I am, the microphone. But it's 2014. What month are we in? What time of the year is this?
Oh, it's a crisp autumn.
Oh, it's love a crisp.
Yes. Is there any other kind? Actually, it was Bristol, so it was probably a soggy, like, slipping in the street on leaves autumn. It was a swamp autumn.
Chris, is there any other kind? Yeah. Okay, so on this sort of like swampy autumn day in 2014, we are in Bristol, and you are in your penultimate year of studying English. Is that true?
I'm in my final year.
In your final year. Yeah. Okay, and in this moment, the soggy autumn, why do you think you've got no friends?
Okay,
here we go.
So,
sorry, I'm already laughing right now. It's not funny. Okay.
No, it is funny. I met somebody. Mm-hmm. So at the start of 2014, I'm a straight girly.
Yeah, sure.
Of course. Fooling it weirdly everyone.
Were you fooling yourself?
To a degree, yeah. Mm. Actually, I'm amazed by how well I fooled myself.
Yeah.
Because it's so evident in so many ways. But I was like, no. It cannot be. It cannot be. So it's 2014. I haven't asked anybody who was involved with this if I can tell this story, so I'm going to be really vague.
Well, here we go. Surprise!
So, yeah, it's fine. Yes, so I'm being a straight girly. Mm-hmm. I'm, as I have since I was approximately 12 years old, just having dreams where I'm in a perfectly lovely relationship with a woman and then waking up as though I'd had a dream where somebody, like, took my eyes out with a spoon. Like,
oh, my God.
It was
horrifying.
God. I'd be like, okay, dream logic is, like, I don't really like that in real life because that would be, obviously I've just got this thought in my head that's running around and that's, it's probably just, like, an obsessive thought.
Yeah, yeah, it's just an obsessive compulsive thing. I probably have a mental disorder.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Luckily, I think I've got a bit of both. So it was really, what's quite fun about that particular obsessive thought is that it was nestled amongst other crazy ones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's some kind of wolf in sheep's clothing joke to be had there, but yeah. My brain isn't there.
We'll
today.
Come up with it later.
Yeah, we'll come up with it later.
We'll
you can
cut
pop it
back in.
Yeah. Some kind of rainbow sheep situation. Anyway, so I'm going about my business, closeted, nailing it. Actually perfectly happy, but starting to feel a creeping sensation of panic of, like, soon I will know.
Yeah.
Soon people will know. Like, I'd done a play at the Fringe the year before, which I'd written with a friend, and we played a gay couple in it. And it was both, I think, having to do it every day, where I was like, oh, this, I'm having to think about this quite a lot. And it feels like my brain weather is very affected by this.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying this whole experience.
Yeah, this is lovely and felt so easy to write. And yet, if I get too drunk at the Fringe, suddenly everything is terrible in a way that I cannot quite fathom or articulate. And will, of course, refuse to angrily.
Yeah, of course, there's a separation between church and state. This is nothing.
Excuse you. So it's starting to creep in, and I'm a bit like, oh, God, well, now I can obviously never tell anybody if it is true, which it isn't. But if it is, I can't tell anyone because now it's going to look like I wrote that play so that I can kiss my friend. And that's so creepy. So now I'm just going to have to be in the closet forever.
I just want to say that I have done exactly that with that exact purpose.
Really?
So don't worry. When I was like, I'm writing this really sexy play and it is for the sole purpose that I want to shag you. So maybe if we do this for long enough, you'll fall in love with me and that will happen. So there's no shame.
No. Oh, that's such a shame.
I know. Tragic.
I'm so sorry about that. You deserved for that to work. Because writing a play is a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to, like, really... I'm sorry, I'm rubbing it in. Anyway, as it happened, I didn't fancy this friend. And so I was extra defensive in my head.
This could not be the case.
I'm taking a long time to get to that story.
No, it's good.
So then at the beginning... So I'm doing a great job. I'm pushing every thought down. And then I met somebody... They walked in to an audition room and I was instantly like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I was like, oh, she's just really good at acting. So that's why. I've really been needing somebody to fill this part. And what a relief.
Thank God she solved my problem.
This angel amongst us has come in and solved my problem, telling my silly student jokes. And then we went to, we all were in another show. And we all went to an after party, and it was the beginning of third year. So they do this big showcase at Bristol every year of a bunch of, they do like a showcase piece per era and they kind of go through. So it was a big party and I knew everybody there apart from the first years. Mm. But the only person I wanted to talk to was this one woman. And I remember talking and I was like, hey, surely it's a bit weird that I'm only talking to you.
Yeah.
And borderline rude, I would say, to everybody else.
they all want part of my attention and I'm like, I'm not giving it.
luckily, my self-esteem was not high enough to be worried about that.
You'll get your time.
Yeah, please, guys, form a queue. also, the funny thing about it is that she was in a play where she got to wear like a tuxedo and looked incredible. And I was in a play where I had to wear child plastic armor and put actual dirt from the street on my face.
Fucking fantastic.
So I was like, in here, you should be so lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were talking and I was like, I think if you tried to kiss me, I would be like totally fine with that in my head.
Is that, that's okay. Yeah,
this is all in a monologue. I would never have said anything like that and still wouldn't. But I remember being like, so that would be fine. But like, oh, what does that mean? Nothing, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we were walking back and somebody made some kind of joke this story would be a lot better if I could remember what the joke was. I think it was that somebody was joking about getting with someone, and this person that I fancied was like, oh, I wish I did. And I got this surge of like, I don't know if it was jealousy or something, but we stood outside a fish and chip shop on White Ladies Road in Bristol. And I was like, my inner monologue honestly did this. You're fucking gay, you idiot.
Oh my
Obviously you're gay. And I was like, it was so loud. It was like proper top level voice. And I was like, oh no. Oh, this is going to be so inconvenient. You're going to have to tell people. Oh no. Oh my.
I'm obsessed with the way that this happened because this wasn't like a Road to Damascus moment of like a light beam down on you or like, and it was just like a rainbow.
No joy, no tears, sigh of resignation.
Oh fuck.
Oh God. Oh, the admin of this is going to be so, the embarrassing admin is like the two worst things that could happen to me. I'm like being socially kind of in position and being like having to do organizing two of the things that I'm horrendous.
All the shit that's going to come with this. Like, oh, for fuck.
I'm going to have to talk about my feelings and sex and organize myself and remember who I've told and who I haven't.
Yeah.
Probably going to have to book a train to Manchester to let my parents know. All of this would be like shrinking.
All of that. And then all of the shit that you have to go with, like, oh, and all the anxieties. Oh, I wrote that play and they're going to think I did that. And I've got to write a fucking thing. Oh, for fuck.
I have to sit down this person and be like, I didn't write the play so I could kiss you. Please don't think that's what I did. But also I can't actually say that because then it will really look like that's what I was doing. I don't know if you were thinking this, but I didn't want to kiss you. Like the worst thing you could say.
Well, but it's that like over, you're just like overcompensating. There's like the chances of anyone actually thinking that are so slim, but you're like, I'm really just going to cover it.
Because, that's so funny you say that because to this day I'm like, obviously I would think that. I'd be like, surely there's a chance that's why. But then you're not allowed to say that because then you sound homophobic.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to have to get ahead of this because you're never going to say, but you will say to your little friends. I know you will.
It's the thing, you know, when you hear these stories about people coming out in school and all the girls being like, well, do you fancy me? And it's like, yeah. No, you fucking homophobic twat. You dick in your gym shorts. Of course I don't fucking fancy you.
Do you know what though? I feel like that was such a trope at the time before I was coming out that it's like, oh my God, so annoying when people do that. Like, do you fancy me? And I was like, nobody's asking me that. And is that because we've moved past it as a culture? Or is it because nobody wants to know if I fancy them?
There's no one wants to deal with
it. It's actually kind of hurtful.
Okay. This is, so you were outside the Vision Chip shop.
Yeah.
On what was it? White Lane. Go White visit Lane. It, guys.
Yeah.
Go on. That's a landmark.
I'm sure it wasn't a fish and chip shop. I think I've northernized my own story. I think it's probably a kebab place or something. But it was very much that end of the night energy.
Yeah. And you're there and the voice comes in, you're like, geez, fuck. And then what happens next?
So what happens next is that I come out to a few people, and this person carry on talking loads. And then eventually I pluck up the courage to be like, so look, obviously this is a vibe, right? Okay, because otherwise I've gone completely insane.
Yeah.
And she was like, no.
Was she gay?
Yeah,
she's
bi and out already.
Right, okay.
So I was like, why do you talk to me all the time? What's happening? Why are we obviously in love with each other?
Yeah.
And it was just, I think for the long-term story, it actually did work out. And we went out for a few years and are now very good friends. So it's all fine. But at that time, it was like...
That must have been hell.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm so sure... It wasn't even the rejection of it, which was hurtful, obviously.
Mm.
But I think it was like, I'm so sure in my heart that this is true.
Mm.
I'm so confused.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you're like, what kind of level of arrogance or delusion have I come to that I'm so sure that this is the case? Mm. And it isn't.
Mm.
I've just been explicitly told that it isn't, and yet I don't believe you.
It's like this can't be happening. Like this narrative that's being created and seems incredibly obvious, and you saying this just seems like you're living in an entirely different world. And you're like, then you start to question your own fucking sanity. And
exactly.
You're like, surely not.
Like, take me back.
Sure.
Take all of this back.
Yeah.
This is so embarrassing.
Jesus, but that must have been so, with everything that came with it in the moment of understanding like who you are and your own sexuality to then have that thing. And my God, that's brave. Like that is to say to anyone, we fancy each other, don't? Because I've done it. I did it once when I was with a guy and I was like, are we going to kiss?
And he went, no. And I was like, yeah, no, me neither.
Is that worse or, but that's surely better than if you just leaned in and got the old dodge, which is of course the worst thing that can happen to anyone.
Which is categorically the worst thing.
Is it easier to play? You can't play off a dodge. You can't be like, prank. I was just seeing what you would do. I was just going to get something from over your shoulder, so don't worry about it.
Psych.
Whereas you can be like, we're going to kiss. No, oh, good, good. Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly the
good,
answer.
Good, because you were looking at me really, I don't know.
Sorry, like, I just needed clarity here because clearly...
I just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Fucking hell, like, it's just... I can see it from the perspective of when I've been in a situation with a man, when I've been like, surely we fancy each other and it's come across not. But the added level of all of that, I can't begin. The turmoil that you must have been facing must have been fucking huge.
It was quite mad.
Yeah.
And I think what was unfortunate about it is that I hadn't been in love before.
Yeah.
Like, at all, obviously, because I was busy being repressed, which is a really, it's quite a full-time job that, if you keep it up well. Oh. And I was brilliant at
fucking
it.
Fucking exhausting. Oh, you become a pro. You become an absolute pro.
I'm so good at it.
So good. Especially when you're convincing yourself.
I made myself a two-dimensional character.
Sick.
I was underwritten as a person up until that moment.
You were just a lazy writer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoever was playing me at that time had done no character research. I was giving it last-minute self-tape up until the age of 20.
With lines that were written on the wall where you're going like, oh, that will be a fiver, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
The fucking line is.
You're like, I'm not going to fucking get this anyway. That was my teen years. It's like if you dig under the surface of this character development, it doesn't super make sense, but no one is.
But like, I completely relate to that and understand it. I mean, from a different capacity of just being like, of like this sort of half life of being... You know, just sort of just pretending to be something entirely different. Mm.
Yes.
So you hadn't been in love before.
So I hadn't been in love before. And I feel like there's a window where it's acceptable.
Mm.
When you first fall in love, most people do that when they're in their teens, right? Or have some kind of first huge crush or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody behaves like an absolute psychopath when that happens.
Yeah, it's mental, yeah.
But you're allowed to when you're a teenager because everybody's brains aren't finished.
I did it like last year.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, this is... I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that. But also, I'm really glad that it's happening later because I really felt like I got all of the kind of like horrible hormones, all of the thoughts, all of the newness and all of the inability to behave like a dignified adult.
Mm-mm.
But everybody else was like, we did this ages ago.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable. Why are you acting like a baby?
Did you find when you in like sort of your adolescence and people around you were doing that and you weren't, did you question like, was that a thought of being like, why is this not happening for me?
Constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I felt more like, I don't know what to put on my wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was very like, I was a teenager in very heat torso of the week era.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's our time.
Yeah, really it. And I would look at these magazine pages and be like... I'd be like, oh, okay. That's nice. That I can see that's objectively...
Yeah, aesthetically. Like,
it's very pleasing.
Well done.
But I don't feel what the person next to me... And I actually think... I didn't feel like that about anybody. I don't think I had the kind of big hormone-y, like a horny teen time. And I don't know if it's repression or just because that just wasn't my vibe.
Yeah.
But I really remember people look like, you know... Of all kind of looking at all genders of people and being like frothing at the mouth. I kiss this every night before I go to sleep. It's on my wall. I need Zac Efron to be staring at me, otherwise I can't sleep. Like all of this madness. And I was like, eh?
Yeah,
it's
a bit
like when you go to a concert and I've never been like a screamy person.
Mm.
So I can't go somewhere and be like screaming my head off. I said concert and I regret it so much. I'm really like showing... how deeply uncool I am. I'm going to be thinking about the fact that I said the word concert. Could you bleep it out like I said a really bad word?
Yeah, done. Oh, good. What was it? Don't worry. If you want to feel better, the only concert I went to until I was 25 was the Jonas Brothers.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
You're not alone there. I have many a friend who had a big Jonas Brothers phase.
Fucking vibe.
Camp Rock.
I'm tempted to out the friend that is well into the Jonas Brothers, but I'm going to leave it. So I was never able to like lose it to the point where I was like screaming and jumping about.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what's wrong with me? I feel like everybody else is like a kind of wonderful paper doll floating in the breeze, and I'm a little lead man. Like, I can't. This isn't happening. Yeah. I feel just like very grounded, very like.
Yeah.
I think a bit sort of middle-aged age, 14, but I was really like, oh, come on. What do you mean? Why are we screaming?
She's a bit excessive.
And I don't really like loud, sudden noises anyway. Yeah, yeah. God, I'm coming off cool. I am single, yes. form an orderly queue.
Guys,
So I think I just didn't have that, like...
There's no headiness. And, like, we all... When people discuss teenagers, or when I remember when I was a teenager, people were, like, sort of making all these assumptions or going, like, oh, my God, are you, like, crazy over this person? I probably was. Fucking hell, Robert Pattinson, mate. Like, that informed my entire sexuality. Him and Eddie Redmayne in Pillars of the Earth.
Okay.
Way back. Eddie Redmayne and Tess the D'Urbervilles with Gemma Rotten.
I'm surprised I didn't see that because I was a big period drama vibe, which you'll be shocked to hear given all of the description of me as a teen so far.
I'm shocked to hear the everything about me.
Yeah, you'll be amazed to hear that I absolutely loved in Austin and do to this day.
Yeah, who doesn't?
But Miss Tess the D'Urbervilles.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. You
know, Eddie Redmayne was sort of so, he was so like... Victorian.
Yeah. Sort of deeply like foppy and unthreatening.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Which is, it was amazing. To a teen.
Yeah, and he had like an accordion. It was fucking amazing.
Accordion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lovely.
Great.
But like, I remember everyone sort of lost their minds over these different people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you couldn't connect to it, mm-hmm. I genuinely was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. I was like, I feel like an alien.
Yeah.
And also like, it's so funny and such a product of culture at the time that I was like, there's probably something wrong with me.
Yeah.
There's probably like, I just don't have the chip that makes you fall for people in that way. And like, you know, that's fine, I guess. No, I wasn't, because I was like, no, I desperately want all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not.
It just hasn't happened.
And it's so strange that it didn't occur to me. That it was like, hey, maybe see if you fancy any women. Like, it did not. I was like, that's not going anywhere. I would rather believe that, because it wasn't even like, I'm asexual or anything. It was like, maybe I just can't engage at all with it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's almost an easier pill to swallow at that point.
Yeah.
Did you go to co-ed school or girls?
Girls.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's rough. That's a rough thing to
do. But could have been great.
But
certainly wasn't.
No.
No.
And
so many people from my year are now, it's honestly the stats of how many people are queer from my year is wild.
Really?
It really is. And listen, I love gay people. I am one. It's fantastic. But I am like, were they poisoning us? Were they putting something in the fucking... Like, was something in the lunch? This feels statistically wrong. I'm like, I hope that the Daily Mail never get hold of those stats, because they're going to be like...
This is going to be like Erin Brockovich.
Like, something's going wrong here, guys.
What was in the water?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's a coincidence, is it? Yeah. Also turns out everybody's gayer than we think.
Manchester around 2009. Fucking hell.
Yeah, what was happening?
What was going on?
But what's really bleak about it is that only sort of one or two of those people were out at the time.
But you had people out in the year, because that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because like I went to an all-girls boarding school. As far as I know, I know there are a few of you gals who listen to this, but no one's out. And I don't know if that, because it was a very repressed place.
Yeah.
And it was very much like, you do this and this is how your life will go.
Mm.
And anyone who kind of broke... I mean, I'm probably the biggest wild card out there, and I'm like... That's like got chocolate chips in my vanilla. Like, it's not wild.
I think that's like a very, very chic thing to be, is the wild card of your year at school.
Fucking hell, yeah.
That's amazing. Obviously, I can't scream at a concert. I love period dramas, could never. I'm the opposite of the wild card. I was the card that you most expected. I'm like two of spades. Like, oh, sure. But like, I knew you'd be here. Sure. You're doing right. nothing for me.
Ten of clubs.
Okay.
Sort of an all right card.
The most average card imaginable.
If you're playing shithead, then, oh, all right. Yeah. But like, most of the time you're like... but like being the wild card in my year was actually probably not that difficult.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm probably wild card because I'm like left wing.
What? Whoa, okay.
Oh my God. Call the police, guys. It's kind of mental.
You really had to do the least and you yeah. went for anyway.
I've got asthma at the moment.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Now, what was your school like?
I mean, a bit of a mixed bag, I think. I mean, well, obviously it was 2009 average, whatever. I mean, dreadful, of course,
worst.
In every way. But there were a few people that were out. I mean, the example of queerness that I had in pop culture at the time was like Skins. And
big,
huge, yeah. huge. And I avoided it like the plague yeah. because I think I watched some of the first series because you couldn't be on the planet without watching the first series of Skins when it was out. It just wasn't possible.
We got to stay up late on a Thursday night to watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like even if you tried not to watch it, someone would have climbed into your bedroom window, held your eyes open and gone, look at Sid, you know? Like there's no way you could have missed it.
I still love the fact that Daniel Kaluuya played a role called Posh Kenneth yeah. in it. What the fuck is that about?
So good.
They've done all right there.
They really have. And it was a great show, but it was not super helpful for me.
No.
Because I think there were some like lesbian characters in the second season.
Actually, Harry, friend of the podcast, Harry mm-hmm. Trebaldwin, friend of both of us, fucking great chap if you're listening. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how we both auditioned for Skins oh, and yeah. got recalled. And my recall was for the girl who is... gay mm. and everyone is like, ugh, gross. Yeah. And then she gets with one of the twins.
Yes, yes.
That. Yeah, yeah.
I do
yeah.
remember that. And I never really saw it, but I remember it being talked about a lot. And the vibe of that is like, in order, in my kind of unfinished brain, mm. was like, so in order to be gay, you have to be very angsty and have a lot of other problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
got to be like someone's tearing your heart out.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be like very edgy and cool and involve a lot of drugs. Mm. And that was not a place that I was ready to get to.
No.
And I was like, well, that's not me. I'm no screaming at a concert period drama girl. Mm. So there's, mm. that's not gay.
That should be the title of your memoir, by the way. No screaming.
I'm the girl that says concerts. So I don't think I can be gay. And that seems like a really, really scary, sad thing to be because yeah. I've never known any happy queer people
yeah,
at
yeah.
that point in my life. And the ones that I did know a bit at school who are all wonderful people
mm.
didn't, they weren't like loving life, obviously, mm, because who mm. is when you're 15?
Yeah, so, there was no example out there of like a just normal functioning couple or
totally.
Like normal functioning person. There had to be something wrong with them.
Yeah, which I guess is drama, but I feel like there's no... The concept of queer joy did not enter my life until I met this person full circle in 2014. And I am now, spoiler alert, end of the story, like they're one of my best friends.
Mm, mm.
And I love them very dearly. And I will always be grateful to them because they showed me how like queerness can be joyful of its own accord, and it can make like the like it can bring you closer to other people and make you radiate joy and have this. It can be like an kind of superpower, magical, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And that's not to eliminate, obviously, how difficult it is for so many people all of the time. But I do think there is an inherent like magic and joy in it. And I'm so grateful that they showed me that and continue to all the time.
I think it's such a wonderful thing to discuss because what we like to do when we talk about these moments and like whatever they are is how even though at the time you're, you know, it's ripping you apart in whatever capacity, in whatever way, you know, that's manifesting. But the ultimately, so often these really strange, awful, terrible moments just lead to something so much greater and bigger than you. And it's like this wonderful just surrender to going, it's just gonna happen, it's gonna happen. And while it fucking sucks, it's such a comfort to go like, yeah, it's shit right now. Trust me, you'll be so happy this happened at some point. And being able to take a relationship forward from that. And I don't know, I just like, it's like that part of yourself that you, I don't want to say shutting down, but like just like keeping so, that just wasn't allowed to come out.
Yeah.
And then the release of it, it's like, I don't know, it's, I've had it in different ways, but when you suddenly feel like you've stepped into your body and become a real life person.
Yeah, that is really what it felt like.
Yeah.
And also, I think I had a very weird thing, which is very, very lucky and a product of the people who were around me at the time. But I lost all the shame so quickly.
Yeah.
It was like I'd lived in it, and the fear and the shame and the guilt and whatever. And feeling like a failure was suddenly, and even before, amidst the original rejection and before that was resolved, I really feel like there was this feeling of, oh, great, this is fine now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is something that is great to be, is absolutely fine to be. Like, I am so excited about who this is going to help me become. Like, it was so lovely. And obviously I was nervous to tell people, and I cried and cried telling my parents, who were wonderful.
Yeah.
But, and there was lots of difficulty in it. But I think the angst was all coming from the unrequited love and what that did to my brain, and how that caused like a horrible kind of ball of anxiety and being a nightmare for other people.
Oh, no, but that just like overweighs everything.
That outweighed it. But I think when that was lifted, and also even at the time, it's like, this is not coming from the gayness. And I was really clear about that. Like, that was already starting to flourish and grow into something nice.
Yeah, this, I love the sort of way of explaining, just being like, really excited about what's coming, about what's coming next.
Yeah.
Because when you suddenly realize this thing about yourself where you find a new part of yourself, you're like, oh my God, this is exciting.
Yeah.
The fuck is gonna happen now?
It's so true.
Whereas like before you were just kind of going, oh, and I did it for so long, just kind of like fumbling through shit and being scared of everything and just like worrying and going, well, this is obviously gonna fail because everything else has failed before. And then suddenly you're like, oh wait, hang on a second.
Yeah.
This is awesome. And then you just get to be excited about what's coming next rather than just like ultimately fearing what you're unexamined life is going to present to you.
Totally. It opens so many more doors than it closes, for me anyway.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say that it hasn't closed a number of doors and that it's not yet completely easy and unaffected to be a queer person.
Oh, no, and not at all.
Especially not with the job that we have. But I feel like I'm so happy to be who I am that it outweighs it.
And then after this, you then went to Lambda.
I did, yes.
London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. All the international listeners.
Yeah.
It's a very good drama school. And that was like, was that something that you'd planned to do after this?
Okay. Sort of really arrogantly as a teen, I was like, I'm going to go to uni and then I'm going to go to drama school. And both of those things will happen and be fine.
I fucking love that.
Which is so mad.
Yeah.
But I didn't get into Lambda the first year I applied. So I had all angsty coming out, heartbreak. All my, I mean, and I did lose friends at that time as well, because it was because it was like, who's this horrible teen lady who's only obsessed with her big crotch? Like, what is happening?
It's suddenly happening for you, whereas it's happened for people before, and they're like, what?
They're like, well, stop it.
Also, you genuinely, at like 23, you're like, I got this. Yeah. Like, I know what's up. This is, I have lived. Yeah. And so people kind of think that they have the grip. Oh my, I saw my godfather last night, and he was like, it's so brilliant that there are more roles for older women now. And I was like, yeah, the idea of watching me on stage at 23, I'd want to fucking shoot her. What a nightmare. Absolute nuisance of a human.
Especially for someone who's been through drama school, I feel like they're the people you want to hear from the very least.
I have absolutely, I'm sorry guys, your time will come, but I have zero fucking interest right now. I really, really do, because I know what's up. Also, the most arrogant people in the world. Sorry, I was one of you, so it's fine. But first year drama students are the most arrogant fucking people in the world, because you've got in. Well done. And now you've got the time ahead of you before all the shit.
I feel like if you look someone dead in the eyes just after they've got into drama school, that's the peak of their arrogance, right? But then you look them dead in the eyes at the end of their first year, and it's all you're seeing is cult. It's just cult glint.
Yeah.
And a slightly broken air.
You know? Please save me.
But never save me. I love it here.
They're listening.
I will do a spine roll every day for the rest of my life, and it will keep me on the ground.
But then, like, so many fucking fantastic things have happened.
Yes. Yes, it's been lovely. My life.
It's been all right.
It's been all right. Some lovely stuff's gone down.
Wonderful Edit Salt was in, as I'm sure many of you listening know, the fantastic series Normal People.
Mm-hmm.
After I met you, I was like, oh, fucking hell.
I really.
But I'm such a dick because I never remember.
No, I don't. I honestly... I had this thing actually when I was at drama school where this is how bad my facial recognition is. We were all sat in like the graveyard next to Lambda, because that's the only place you can hang out in the outdoors.
Sick.
Which I mean
so metal.
Oh, it tells you everything you need to know about. Like, yeah, you can go out. Yeah, you can be in the sun. You don't have to be in this class lying on the floor thinking about your vertebrae for like 5 minutes, but you will be over the dead. You will be sitting on graves.
Make your choice.
Think about that. Really think about that. Just slowly breaking you down in every possible way. So we were all sat around and I was like writing an email or something. And it was something quite stressful had happened, obviously, because it was drama school. Somebody had been, one of the teachers had been screaming at abuse at us. And I was writing an email being like, I don't think this is school, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
To be, of course, ignored.
I mean, well done, because I never did that.
Yes, no, it didn't get me anywhere, unfortunately. And I was warned that, you know, if you want to take this any further, you should really think about what impact that might have.
That is so... 2015-ish.
Isn't it deeply unsurprising?
Deeply unsurprising.
Horrendous. Anyway, yeah. So I'm in the middle of writing this email. I'm very stressed. I think it gets worse when I'm stressed. And I was like, why has Shelby brought this random guy with her at this time? I'm really trying to write. And I was like, kept looking at him being like, the hell? Like, no one's even introduced him. Like, what's going on?
Oh my God, it was
a man who was in my year. I was in the second year of my drama school. He was in my year. He was a friend of mine. Like... I'd seen him every day for a year and a half and hung out with him socially. And for some reason, my brain was like, that is just a generic fellow.
You were saying your family have been really supportive surrounding your...
Oh, everything. I very annoyingly, smugly nailed the lottery on that one. They are the best.
It's so, like, isn't that just great?
It is great. I was listening to your Helen Bauer podcast earlier and I was like, if I meet her, I'm going to have to lie. I'm going to have to lie about my mum, because she, unfortunately...
is
quite great.
Helen Bauer outright said, if anyone says their mum is their best friend, they're lying.
Yeah. And I actually think that's really legitimate, because that's such an oversimplification of what is inherently a very complex relationship, obviously. But alas, can't have a word said against Sian.
No, she sounds brilliant.
Yeah, she is brilliant.
No, we had Brennan Rees on, what was it, like a couple of weeks ago. He just talked about how brilliant his mum is as well.
So really, Helen's choice backfired.
Yeah, yeah. She's lying. She's the one lying.
She's having everyone come in now being like, turns out mums are great.
Turns out, actually,
if you came out of that area, you're sort of pretty connected.
I think it's such a it's quite a hateful quality, I think, for me. But it's my truth, and I must stand in it.
We don't get to do it all that often, but just discussing like positivity and the ease and how wonderful it is to be able to accept that part of yourself and be like, it's actually just so fucking great.
Yeah.
Because like. Even now, well, I mean, of course, mm. It's blindingly obvious, but like there are so many people struggling and wanting to keep that part themselves.
Yeah. And also needing to.
Yeah.
I do think
yeah.
sometimes there's like a, you know, you can only be happy once you fully accept yourself and you must come out and if you're
radical
doing
acceptance.
It, totally.
Et cetera.
And I think, you know, it's more important that you're safe, obviously. If
yeah.
you're in a position where you're not safe or comfortable to do that and you're not ready now, all I can hope for you is that that time comes and you're able to surround yourself with different people if that's something you can do.
Yeah.
And like, if not, having an internal world of self-acceptance and queerness in any way that you can have is like also completely valid.
Yeah. I think it's often like, As teenagers, as you know, early late adolescence, so in early 20s, I know that before I went to drama school, I believed that like this was everyone, this was what it was like, these were the people, and then suddenly you're put into an environment where you meet all these different people who accept the different parts of you that you were really really repressing, and you're like, oh fuck. So I think it is so wonderful to always flag that just like things change and situations change and emotions change and it won't always be like this.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready or you're not safe, there's no shame. You're not a bad person for like not being able to do it right now.
Yeah, totally. And I also am really conscious of like, I think it's so important to bring queer joy into the world and like pass it on and whatever. But I'm also like, that's such a privilege that I'm able to feel that I've got like friends and family that have allowed that to happen. And so I also think there's like sometimes a toxic positivity element about it. Mm-hmm. And I also really feel like I need to have the caveat of saying I don't always constantly feel amazing and like nobody does. And if you're there like, I don't feel queer joy today. Today I feel like general sexless misery. So do I sometimes. Like that's absolutely fine too.
It's like opening your front door and there's like the sun.
Exactly.
It's just walking down the street, people waving flags.
Yeah. There's you know, pockets.
There are days that are fucking shit.
Definitely. And that's so allowed and you're not like a bad gay for feeling not amazing and tap dancing on the HSBC Pride Parade float every day.
Because if you're gay, you do have to learn the tap dance.
Of course, yeah.
That's in the rule book.
Which is so time consuming. It's one of those things that holds us back against straight people. Because you guys don't have to do that.
No. Yeah. No, we have to maybe do the tango like at some point.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's so sexy. I'm gutted we got tap dance. But I'd love to be able to do either.
I found much more freedom after I had my big breakdown. Mm-hmm. Like genuinely, I like then found this I don't know, just acceptance and freedom within this, because I'd always just thought it was this one thing.
Yeah.
I drew a picture the other day because I was like trying to explain it of like, I thought sex was this. Mm-hmm. It turns out it's this.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And suddenly like stepping into that was so great.
That's
and, like,
so interesting.
Yeah, and really exciting.
Yeah.
But it was like, it only happened after... I don't know, like radical acceptance is tricky. I think if I radically accepted myself, I might implode. But like,
it's very stressful to have to be radical all the time.
Yeah, it was like,
isn't it?
So rad.
Lots of people in their lives are never really asked to be radical. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like if you fall into certain categories in the world, suddenly you just have to be radical.
You have to be fucking radical.
I'm not radical. I mean, sorry,
I don't scream at concerts. Like
hearing the truth. I'm listening from radical. And I feel like every time somebody says radical, even though it's always in really like important, heavy context, that it'll be about like feminism or recovery or you know.
Yeah.
But in my head it's always like a dog in sunglasses. Maybe on a skateboard.
Yes.
Soon as someone says radical, it's like radical.
Radical.
It's always... And I'm really intimidated by that dog. I could never have that level of chill.
Yeah, he's on a surfboard and you can't tell if he hates it or loves it.
Oh, no. And he's standing on it. Like, and oh, no. It's too stressful.
It's too stressful.
It's too stressful. I'm like, that dog would bully me at school.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That dog has two last names. Yeah. And, did the thing going, I love your skirt.
The dog dresses impeccably but has no sense of humour. And so there's no way of connecting. You can't even diffuse. That's where my skin, my... I'm like, if I can make myself unthreatening through silly jest little jokes, absolutely fine if you're cool and scary. But if you're cool and scary and you have no sense of humour, I'm fucked.
Yeah, fucked. There is no way out.
I've got nowhere to go.
There's no safety net. You can't make... You've just got to aim for like the nearest exit safely.
Awful. I just have to sort of nod and make myself as small as possible.
Back away. Away from it.
Horrifying. Or the girls' school training kicks in and just become incredibly mean about somebody else.
Oh yeah, the best. Yeah. Oh god, so good at that. I tell you, have you been to an... I can't remember who...
I can't radically accept that part of myself, but it does exist.
It does exist. It's in there.
Yeah.
I have this thing at the moment that I don't know how weird this sounds, and I don't know how people feel about it, but I don't eat any kind of meat of an animal that I don't feel like I could kill myself.
So, sorry, how do you judge this? I don't know. Would you eat but does that lead you in the wrong direction? Because like you would eat a battery farm chicken because they're weak. Oh. None of those free-range, robust hens.
Going nowhere. You try and get... Yeah, I'm not going to get away from it.
It's actually kind of evil vegetarianism, selectively.
Evil. Yeah. I'm plucking out the weed. Fucking hell.
If a pig's a little bit, looks slightly traumatised, you're sausage time.
Sorry. That is more like I don't. It's a really weird thing, but I don't really eat meat at the moment because that's the job. Because I don't feel like I can kill animals.
Yeah.
Someone said to me the other day, he went. It was quite a strange thing to say. He went, I feel like you could take down a cow, and I was like, what? And he went, yeah, you could take down a cow, and I went, emotionally. Emotionally, I can manipulate the shit out of that cow. I could make that cow feel about this big.
Of course you could. Weren't you wearing that last time I saw you?
Oh my god, that's so good.
Oh my god, it's so nice.
You always look good in that.
It's so bang on.
A devastated cow.
Oh god, absolutely horrendous.
Chase up.
Oh my god. It's so crazy how you can, not care about how you look. I'm so fucking traumatised. Never do that.
I'd love to wear that, but I just, I'm not brave enough.
So we've discussed these things, and I think we've kind of led to this really wonderful place. We have kind of touched on it, but what are the sort of the things about you as a person that you really, really love and cherish?
Oh...
That question came out of left field, but
it did. That was very. Yeah. I think we've naturally led to this
because we're going to cut around it. I think we've naturally led here. That's a conversation. Radical.
I think it's that I'm so radical is the main thing.
Just rad.
No, I feel like there are lots of things that I like about myself. There are lots of things I super don't. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm. I like that I feel I'm aiming for the right things. Mm. I think I try very hard to be kind.
Yeah.
I try to lead with kindness and then with fun. If I don't know what to do about something, I'm like, what's the kind thing to do?
Yes.
And then if that feels irrelevant, what's the most fun thing I could do?
Yeah.
And
I think that's
quite nice. Mm. And I feel like that's
kind
nice.
And fun. I think lovely ones.
Yeah. I think I'm a good time.
Yeah. Good time. I'm a good damn girl.
Yeah. I think I'm nice and a laugh.
Yeah. You know? I would say those, if someone went, what's Elliot's all like? I'd be like, she's nice, she's a laugh.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm very happy to be that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Very good. This is... the next one. Oh, yeah, so this next part we like to call thank you letters, mm-hmm. which is where we express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing for which you would like to express gratitude, say thank you to.
I mean, I can't narrow it down because I genuinely feel so overwhelmingly lucky so much of the time.
I love that.
To the point where it then turns into how could you ever deserve all of the things that you have, you know. But if we just stop it before it gets there.
Mm.
I mean, as I've said, I've eulogized already about my amazing family.
Mm.
I think that's the biggest luck I've ever had, which is saying something because,
mm-hmm.
you know, what a lovely, lovely barrel of nice things I've had.
Mm.
And I'm fighting against having to be like, also, I've been sad. <You know?
laughs> Yeah. Also, it has been shit at times. It's all right.
Yeah, sometimes I struggled.
Yeah. Everyone drop your fucking pearls. It's fine.
No, I mean, I feel lucky about everything. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like I wanted to keep a gratitude journal recently because I was
I do that.
Yeah. Mm. And I was like having a bit of a depression era. And I was like, okay, I need to ground myself in things I'm grateful for. But then I started having this like compulsive thought where if I didn't record all the things, then I wasn't grateful enough for them.
Yeah.
And so I ended up not being able to take it. So this I'm immediately finding stressful because I feel like I need to list everything or it will go away.
Yeah. Oh my God, I do exactly this. It's a slightly like obsessive compulsive thing.
Yeah.
Of going, if I don't say thank you for this thing, the universe won't think I'm grateful for it. And they'll be like, it's like a surplus. Well, they're like, well, you don't need it then.
Yeah, totally. Take
it away. And sometimes like, I go there going, thank you. Thank you. Mm. I want you to acknowledge how grateful I am for this thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate that I'm really, really lucky. Thank you very much for this assistance and this. But we can just do a blanket statement.
A blanket statement of like, thank you, keep it coming.
Yeah.
And some of it, hold back. That's fine. There's some of the stuff you're bringing through, and I love your work generally, universe, but some of the stuff you're bringing through, I think we could lose it.
Stand by.
I've got notes.
Yeah.
But great job.
Oh, draft on was so... Yeah. That was really brave.
Yeah.
Well done. Good effort.
Yeah. I have some thoughts for season two, but we'll
discuss that in time.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can discuss or are you going to be super chic and be like, there's nothing I can talk about?
Do you know what? I sent a super chic email asking if I can say what I'm filming at the moment and I can't.
You can't.
Which is actually incredibly chic and I'm nothing but smug about
it. That is the chicest of the chic.
But I am in what's not been out. I'm pretty sure I'm able to say, and if I'm not...
We'll cut it, don't worry.
It's fine. Mm. I mean, I'm sure I've said this already, but I'm in the third season of Slow Horses. So I don't know when that's out.
It's so good.
Yeah, but well, they dropped the trailer for it at the end of season two and I wasn't in it. But plot-wise, I do have to still be there, so...
Yeah, so it's fine.
But I was like, I don't think they've left me out of the trailer because they need to hold me back to announce. So I'm pretty sure it's just that I wasn't in the best bits. So I think I'm allowed to say.
Not in the high profile spots.
Yeah. Imagine if they're like, it's cool. Like, there's also so many cool people in it that it would be hilarious if they were like, but we want to separately do a deadline now.
No, but I can see it. I 100% see that. I know that's fucking awesome. I just, one of my favorite things in the world, it's not my favorite thing at all, it's devastating, but when you go in for ADR, which is additional dialogue recording for everyone who doesn't know, and you don't know that you've sort of, what's happened with your role, and you go in and they go like, all right, just do this one bit, and it's you going, okay, thanks.
And you're like, wait.
No! Okay, thanks, Emily. See you later.
No! Well, I've got ADR for this job for Slow Horses next week, so, you know.
Stay tuned.
I'll message you if you need to cut me saying this because I'm no longer in it. They've actually replaced me with a kind of AI version.
All of ABBA, just doing
Oh my God, would watch that show.
I would fucking watch that.
Love that.
Lovely little thing. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming on and just being so open and beautiful and fantastic. And you're amazing. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Oh, you too. And also, I'm sorry because I feel like lots of people are going to be very frustrated listening to this because I think on multiple occasions you started saying something interesting and I got overexcited and went on a tangent and we never went back.
That is literally this entire podcast, every single episode.
So
all
sorry.
It is me going, there is something, and then just like going on a tangent about how the fact that my mum said something inappropriate when I was seven. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Okay.
So don't worry. We do it for the fans. Fucking
what a great I'd also really like to say that if you haven't found me funny on this podcast, know that it's because I did my best gags riffing on stuff that we're not allowed to say.
BTS. We'll do it in the future.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for amazing.
If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at emily_laing_UK. To have your story or thank you letter read on the podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favourite place, person or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.